those who made commitments last week. About 10 people got baptized. We ran out of parking in the second service. People were parking all along the grass and everything. And that's a good problem, isn't it? That's a good problem. And we had packed classrooms. And, you know, so now is a great time to volunteer for kids' ministry, all right? So if you have been thinking about it or praying about it, stop thinking about it, stop praying about it, and get signed up today. Just go and tell somebody, hey, I'm ready to do this. But the other awesome thing was most of the guests that were here last week, as well as pretty much every week that come to Crossroads, are invited to be here. And so you guys, each of us, sharing what we've experienced, come and see, come and taste, come and check this out, what we've enjoyed, what we've experienced ourselves, we want for you as well. And so give yourselves a hand for making that available to people last week and this week. And met a young man after first service. He said he was here for the first time. He hadn't been in church in years. And he said last Sunday he came for the first time and he felt at home. And so he was back today with his family, five of them. And so he said, you'll be seeing me every week. So what you saw on Easter is our 2020 vision. What you saw last week is what we want every week as we move toward 2020. And so what we're believing for is that Easter will be every Sunday. And it can happen. It happened last week. So it can happen. And so what we're believing for is in 2 years that we'll have over 1,000 people on this campus every Sunday. And then look at launching yet another campus of Crossroads Church somewhere here in the Hendricks County area. And so you be still praying about that with us and doing all you can to get people here. And I know God's going to do a great work in their life, just like he did for this family that I met today. Well, we're kicking off a new series of messages that we'll be in for the next 4 weeks. And to set this up, let me just ask you a question. What do you think, out of all the commandments that God has issued, what one do you think out of the Bible would be the most repeated command? Now, I'll tell you, it's probably not what you think. It's not, thou shalt not, or, you know, thou shalt, or whatever so much, as this is it. This is the big one that's most repeated is be happy. Isn't that crazy? Be happy. And the way God says it, and when I looked this up recently, you know, he says it in several different ways, like don't be afraid and rejoice and be full of joy and give thanks and be full of thanksgiving and be blessed and be a blessing. And so there's all these different ways that God expresses that he wants us to experience the fullness of who he is. It's happy moments in our lives. And when you think about it, I would think everyone here has experienced some happy moments, right? And how many would say, I would like some more of those, right? And let's put them close together, you know, to where those happy moments are closer together than what they have been maybe in the past. And, you know, when you think about happiness and being happy, we make many of our decisions based on that. You know, we'll look at a job and we'll say, okay, I think I'll take that job because I think if I do, I'll be more happy. Or I think I'll move from this house to that house or this apartment to that apartment or whatever it is because I'll be more happy. I think I'll live in this different zip code, different area of the country or whatever, because I'll be more happy, right? And we go on this happy journey of where we're always looking for what will make us happy. So some of us, we go to the gym and we say, I'm going to be happier if this looks better. You know, that will make me happy. And so some of us, we don't go to the gym, we go to the plastic surgeon. And we say, you know, make me happy, help me be more happy. And some of us, we go to Amazon and we say, deliver me some happiness, you know. Bring some happy. And so when UPS or FedEx pull up, we say, oh, here's a box of happy coming my way. And you know, what's the problem with this is we look at happiness as some outside force, something from the outside that will come and create happiness for us. As a matter of fact, there's a place, there's a destination, there's a place that actually claims to be the happiest place on earth. Do you know where that place is? Disney World. Yeah, it's on Orlando. That's where it is. That's where it is. And here's the thing. I've been there several times. And this is something that I see when I go to Disney. As a matter of fact, I don't think there's ever been a time that I've been to Disney that I haven't seen something like this. And when you look at this, this kid looks like anything but happy. And I'm thinking, kid, you're in the sunshine. Somebody made a drink for you. Somebody bought a balloon for you, an overpriced balloon. And you are getting pushed around in the happiest place on earth. What is wrong with you? And I've seen families ask that question. What is wrong with you? We spent $50,000 to come here. And be happy. Now get some happy on, you know. I've seen couples arguing, you know, I am not riding that ride. I want a corn dog, you know. You know, and it's like, it's supposed to be happy. You're supposed to be happy. This is the happiest place on earth. And many people think, you know, if I could get there, wherever there is, then I'd be happy. No. And you know why no? Because you would take you there. Think about it. And if you can't be happy in Hendricks County, you can be unhappy at the happiest place on earth. Because you can take your unhappiness and take it into a marriage. You can take it into a new job. You can take it into all kinds of different settings and still bring that unhappiness there. Because I believe the change that we really need is more a change on the inside. It's the inside of us. So happiness, and here's what we're going to find in this series, is not about so much getting something new as it is in becoming someone new. And when you become someone new, you can be happy regardless of the situation. And to help us to understand this today, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul and a letter that he wrote. We call it the book of Philippians in the Bible. But it's a letter that Paul wrote to this church, and the reason why it's called Philippians is because it was written to Philippian people, a church in Philippi. And so he writes to them, and he writes to them, get this, to encourage them, to help them to be happy, to help them have joy. And you know, we need to have joy. We need to, and joy in the Lord, and rejoice always. And we're going to see this in a few moments. And so he's trying to encourage them throughout this writing. Now, I want you to know that Paul is not in Orlando when he's writing this. And he's not on Waikiki Beach either. Paul, get this, is in a prison. He is a prisoner. And the reason why he's a prisoner is because he's a preacher of the gospel. He didn't steal anything, didn't kill anybody. He preached the gospel of Jesus. Got arrested for it and got incarcerated for it. And now he's going to encourage these other people. So I think if somebody knows how to be happy under all kinds of circumstances, it's Paul. And he just might have something to say to us. So we're going to look at the book of Philippians. If you have a Bible, you can pull it up. If you have your YouVersion Bible app, you can pull it up along with our notes are always on the YouVersion Bible app. You can look under live happenings and pull that up each week. And otherwise, we're going to have it on the screen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says this, always, everybody say always.
Always
be full of joy in the Lord. And I will say it again, rejoice. How many know, sometimes you just got to say it again. Right? You got to say it again. How many of you are parents and you know you've got to say it again? Right? You think, I shouldn't have to say it again, but I might have to say it again, you know. And Paul says, I should not have to say this again, but I am going to say it again. Rejoice, all right? And here's what he says, let everyone see that you are, it ought to be able to be obvious. People ought to be able to see it, that you're considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. I mean, for goodness sake, Jesus could come back today. And that fix everything. How many think it might fix everything, right? If Jesus came back. And so Paul says this word, always. And this word means all-encompassing. It means in every place, every time, every situation. There's no excuse for it not to exist. In all ways, that means every day, 24/7, there should be the ability to tap in to joy, to tap in to happiness. And the problem, I think, comes in that many of us, it's easy on Sunday morning, right? I'm easy like Sunday morning. How about you? You know, because think about it. You come to church, somebody's already made your coffee, you know, and they've made cookies for you. And you come in, they've even got lemonade if you don't like coffee. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you, but that's okay. We'll pray for you later. But some of us, you know, we come in here and we say, oh, man, that's awesome that worship team practiced all night one night this week and got all fired up and ready to go to lead us in worship, awesome worship of God and all. And, hey, Craig's going to tell me something that's hopefully going to lift my spirits today and tell me something I don't know and help me in a practical way and show me how God's word can be applied to my life. And all this happens on Sunday. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how's it working on Monday, right? When the alarm goes off and you got to go to work, you got to go to school. Or how about hump day, right? How about all the other days of the week? Paul says, hey, this even works like it did for me a couple weeks ago when your hot water heater goes out, you know, and leaks water everywhere and all that mess. You know how that works. And so then what we found out, because we thought, oh, this is awesome. You know, I called up my friend here at church, and I said, hey, you know, here's what's going on. And Justin said, oh, good news. We can go get the water heater today. And you know, and I'm thinking, oh, man, this is going to be a quicker fix than I thought. It's awesome. How many know it's not always a quick fix, right? Everything in your life is not always a quick fix. And so it turned into, oh, the water heater was hiding a pipe that was leaking. And so then we have to dig into the wall to pipe. And so now it's turned into a bigger deal. And now not only are we not going to have hot water, we're not going to have water for a day. And this is on Saturday. I do not like problems on Saturday, just so you know, all right? because I'm like gearing up for Sunday. It's like pregame mode, you know. My family knows that and all. And so I'm like, oh, seriously. And so I'm thinking, oh, we go stay in a hotel. I probably won't even sleep. That's not good. And, you know, I got to be ready Sunday and everything and all. And so we decided, you know, we'll just live without water for over 24 hours. And so I just came to church on Sunday with no shower. No, I didn't, but some of you think, I think I know the Sunday, you know, maybe I know the Sunday that was. No, I didn't do that. We stopped by my mother-in-law's house. I go over there about 5:30 in the morning like I do on Sundays and slip into their house. She lives across the street from the church and took a nice hot shower and got ready and everything. And then Justin came over and fixed us all up and all was good. But I was thinking when it all went down and we had no water in the house, and I thought, you know, I've been in third world countries where this is how they live. This is not unusual. This is not an inconvenience. This is life. And so I thought, you know, who am I that I get upset over this when there are plenty of people in the world who live like this every day? See, it's all about perspective, isn't it? And God commands us, hey, be happy all the time. Have joy all the time. Now, how are you going to do that? Write this down. You got to have a God-generated happiness. See, you've got to have a God-generated happiness. Some people think, though, and this always bothers me when people have this thought, that God is somehow in the way of their happiness. Maybe you felt that way. Maybe when you picture God, he looks a little like the Incredible Hulk. You know? Just all veins popping out and, you know, just like, I'll get you, you know. Step out of line, I'm going to get you. And that is not at all the picture that the Bible paints of our Heavenly Father. But he's not just holy, he's happy. And here's the thing, holy and happy go together. And how I see that is I look in the Bible and there were people called the children of Israel. And God told them, hey, I'm going to deliver you with a mighty hand. I'm going to bring you out of hundreds of years of slavery. I'm going to take you over to a promised land, a land that flows with milk and honey. That's how they called it back then. And it's going to be this prosperous land, fertile land. It's going to be awesome, going to be great. You're going to live in cities you didn't build, and all this stuff's going to come your way. And I'm going to take you out in great power. And he did. And took them away from the Egyptians, split a sea in half, dried it up. They walk across, drowns the enemy behind them. And then God says, now, when we get over there, don't you be messing with them. Don't you be taking their idols and their worship and bringing it into your house. And God was very clear, because it won't go well. What do they do? Does anybody know the story? They get over there. Well, I think I'd like to have some of that. All we've got is this God that can split seas in half and dry it up and drown our enemies behind us, you know. All we've got is this miracle-working God, you know, that can feed us supernaturally in the desert day after day, make food appear, fly it in if he wants to, and do whatever he wants to do. But I think I'd like to have something I could put on my shelf. You know, an idol that somebody made out of gold or bronze or wood. You know, wouldn't that be nice to have some of that? And so these people start inviting this stuff into their house, into their homes, and guess what? They got unhappy. And God was like, I told you so, that's why I warned you not to do that. But you know what the graciousness of God is? God brought them back. God brought them back, just like he brought some of you here today, right? How many are glad for that? All right, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Paul ties in two words together when he's describing God. And here's what he does. He says he refers to God as the blessed God. the blessed God. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, you know that in the Bible, when it says blessed, you can very often also interchange the word happy. And so what Paul says, you know, our happy God. Now, I don't know if you came in here thinking that way, but I hope you'll go out of this room believing what the Bible says about God, that He is the happy God. I'll tell you why I believe He's the happy God, because Jesus shows up one day and He says, I have come that you might have rules. More rules for your life. No, that's not what He said. He didn't say rituals. He didn't even say religion. Get this. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. That sounds a lot like happy to me, if you ask me. That you might have life to the full. And then, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, Paul says, when we have the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit lives in us, holy and happy go together. He says, love, joy, and peace will come out of our lives. How many know love, joy, and peace sounds a lot like happy? How many like a little more love, joy, and peace, right, in your life? And so Paul says that's where it comes from. And then do I have time? Anybody got time for this? All right, Zephaniah 3:17. Zephaniah 3:17, this will blow your mind. Zephaniah 3:17 says that God sings over us. And one way of translating that is that God shouts loud over us. In other words, I have no problem understanding why I praise God, okay? There is no reason why. If you knew half of what God has done for me, you would understand why I put my hands up in the air. You would understand why sometimes I do a little bit of a bounce. You would understand why sometimes I wave my hands. You would understand why I get up here and raise my voice and a vein pops out of the side of my neck. Sometimes it's because of all He's done for me. That's why I praise Him. I gladly praise Him. But here's what blows me away, is that He sings over me. That's crazy. But as a parent, I kind of understand this. Because when Alexis was 2 or 3 years old, and it'd be bath time, and we'd want to make it fun, and we'd say, okay, and we'd take her naked body, and we'd lift it up over that bathtub, and then we'd swing her back and forth and say, take a bath, take a bath. We'd sing over her, and then she'd say, do it again. Take a bath. Yeah. All right, get in the water, you know. But your heavenly Father looks down today, and He says, come on, look at Him sitting there at Crossroads Church. Look at Him listening to my word. Look at them raise their hands and lift their voices and sing with Kenneth and the team and praise and worship God. Look at them shouting up to me their praise and their exaltation. They're not in a ball game. They're not at their kids' dance recital. They're not somewhere else where I understand they get excited. They're in my house today and praising me and lifting my name. And God shouts. How many know God shouts over that? So see, when He commands things, it's to help us, not to hinder us. See, instead of God getting in the way of your happiness, maybe He's trying to make a way for your happiness in your life. Let's look at some habits of happiness. I'm going to give you two today, and then we're going to look at some more next week and some more the following week and some more the following week, and we're going to put all these habits together this month because we are people of habit. And if you can change your habits, you can change who you are. Johnny Cash, he's passed away now, but he was a country western singer for decades, and he got addicted to pills. And here's what he said. He said, "I spent my life taking pills, more pills and whatever, to try to get what I felt with the first pill. But I never could get it. I never could get it again. And it was just a temporary experience." Of course, thankfully, Johnny Cash came to the Lord Jesus and became a believer and changed his whole life. He didn't need any pill anymore. He got a hold of the real thing with God and it totally transformed his life. But I want to look today at the science of happiness as well, because science and the Bible are not conflicting, regardless of what your college professor said. So here's what we want to look at. There's a book called The How of Happiness. And in this book, go ahead, pull that up for me. There's a chart of how happiness works. And they've studied this all over the place. And here's what they've come up with is in you and me, in every individual, there's 50% of our happiness is determined by what they call a genetic set point. In other words, some people are born and they say, "Hey, that glass is half full." And somebody else says, "Nope, it's half empty." And it's just that way, right? And let me tell you something else. That according to how this works, and this could be biochemical and all kinds of things, and we don't have time to get into all that, but I just want you to know, as your pastor, some of you may need to see a doctor over that, okay? Seriously. And that is not a lack of faith if you make an appointment with a doctor to say, "You know, I think I'm seeing things too depressing. Something's not right." Or if you need to go see a counselor, just make it sure it's a good one, okay? And somebody who can speak truth into your life. But there are many times in my life I should have had more counseling than what I did. And so I thank God for counselors. I thank God for doctors. I thank for those who attend this church. And if you need one, we can help you get hooked up with one to help with that. But that's 50%. 10% of your happiness and mine is attached to life circumstances. Now, that doesn't make sense to us, because we think that ought to be 90%, right? Because if I'd get to the happiest place on earth, I'd be happy. If I could get that job, if I could get that girl, if I could make more money, if I could, then. But you guys know, you know how this works. You get a raise or you get a new job where you're paid more, and within 3 months, you don't know where it went. You're like, "Where'd that raise go? I thought I got $1,000 raise, you know, a month, and it's already gone. What happened there?" What happened there is you adjusted your living, right? Isn't that how it works? Am I right? And so they say that when you get married, you know, and everything's for, "Oh my gosh, this is our first apartment together. Oh my God, can you believe it? We're married." And it's all wonderful for a year or two, right? They say. And that's the honeymoon stage, right? They call it the honeymoon stage. And the reason why is because then real life sets in. And problems and issues and things, and you don't always agree, and you got to figure out how to negotiate that and work through all that. And here's the thing, is we think this is the key to our happiness. So we even pray over this part. "Oh God, give me more. Give me more money. Give me more things. Get me her. Or get me him, you know, get me that. Oh, God, we just, oh, and I'll do anything, God, if you'll just do this." And we do, isn't that where a lot of our prayer life is? But look at this. Bring that chart back up. 40% you can control. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next 4 weeks. We're going to talk about, we're not going to talk about the part that maybe you need to see a doctor, you need to see a counselor or whatever over, or you just need to, we're not going to talk about the 10% that barely affects your happiness. We're going to talk about the 40% that you can control, that if you will control it, it can impact the other 60%, all right? It can bleed over into the other 60% and impact that. That sounds like a good thing to do. So we're going to talk about that. So here's the thing that Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Pull that up for me. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about what? Everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which sounds a lot like happiness, and exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Two habits. Write the first one down. The first habit is you need to switch worry for prayer, Paul says. Instead of worrying about something, pray about everything. So you know how to do this. That's the good news, all right? If you've played hot potato, okay? If you've played hot potato, you know how to do this. Because here's what we do. We get in the habit of hanging on to our worry and our fret and our fear. But if we think of it like hot potato, anybody who knows how to play hot potato, you remember that? That hot potato starts working its way around the circle. And if you're good at the game, you're already analyzing it. You're already figuring out, okay, I know how this person hands this next to me, and I'm going, whew, there we go. Yeah, just one move, you know. Whoo, it's over there, you know. Barely touched it. Because you know if you're holding it and the music stops, you're out. You're out of the game. And so that's not going to happen to me, right? That's not going to happen to me. And so, whew, it's over there. What if every time fear, what if every time worry tried to come into your life and you said, whoa, that's not for me. That's not for me. I'm a child of God. That's not for me. I'm born again. That's not for me. I've got the Holy Spirit living inside me. That's not for me. That must be for somebody else, you know. That must be for them because that's not for me. And instead of worry, you say, oh, I must be supposed to pray right now. That's what it is. This came into my life, and the enemy wants me to worry about it, but guess what? I'm going to give him a headache right now because I'm going to start praying about it. I'm going to pray over it. What would happen if you started doing that about your finances? If you start doing that about your relationships, if you start doing that about your retirement, if you start doing that about your health, instead of seeing giants, you see God in your life. Instead of seeing yourself as small, you see God as big in your life. I don't know about you, but I have a God who is way bigger than all my problems, my fears, my concerns, my situations, and my perspective changes when I make that shift and start to pray instead of worry. And the second thing Paul says is live thankful. Live thankful. If you just start praising Him for all He's done. Now hold on, Paul. Where are you at? Where's your address right now? Oh, prison. Yeah, how do you do that, Paul? Well, you know what? I can still write letters. And he didn't even know that 2,000 years later in a town he didn't even know existed, we'd be reading it. See, and so don't limit what God can do. The psalmist said, I may be in bondage, I may have these things in my life, but yet will I praise him. Yet will I praise him. See, I love that yet part. See, that yet part is, okay, yeah, I've got problems. Okay, Paul, yeah, hey, I'm in prison. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I can't go wherever I want to go, do whatever I want to do. But yet, I can praise him. Oh, I can praise him. Oh, I can praise him in this jail. I can praise him wherever I am. I can praise him on the inside. I can praise him on the outside. I can praise him when the sun comes up, when the sun goes down. I can praise him in all things, regardless of what's going on. And I don't know about you, but if I would just stop and think, I've got so much to praise him for. I'm part of one of the most fantastic churches that I know of in the United States of America. I've got family, I've got friends, I've got clothes to wear, I've got a car to drive, I've got food to eat, I've got all these things in my life, and it's because of the goodness of God in my life. How about you? So, you know, there's some habits, and you have to switch them. You have to do something. And all of us have habits. How many have had some habits? You know, some people are pointing. He's got one. All right, we've all dealt with habits. You know, I've had a habit in my life where I'll grab my shirt, kind of like this, and I'll just start feeling it, and I'll get kind of lost in the moment, and my wife will say, "What are you doing? You look stupid. That looks weird. Cut that out. That looks weird. Stop it." And I'm like, "What? You're feeling your shirt like that. That's just weird. Cut that out." And you know, I don't know. Your pastor's weird, all right? That's all I know. Because, you know, there's time. And maybe you got stuff. I don't know about your stuff. We don't have time to get into your stuff today. But you know, there's things where you just got to, okay, I'm not going to do that, you know. Not going to do that. You know. And Paul says, instead of complaining about your situation, why don't you be thankful in all situations? The songwriter said, when I was growing up, we used to sing this song, "Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend." Come on, somebody help me. "My constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know." I said, "I know." I read it in my Bible, and I know. My mama told me, and I know. I know that I know that I know in my knower, I know that he watches over me. So I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. See, I don't know what's going to happen this week, but I know his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I don't know how this diagnosis is going to turn out, but I know his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I don't know if she's going to go out with me again. I don't know if this is going to go anywhere, but I know his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I know I got so many bills stacked up at home. I don't know how I'm going to do all this, but I know his eye is on the sparrow, and I know Somebody help me today. What if you live this week as though his eye is on the sparrow? What if you live this week praising him like you are healed? What if you praised him this week like she did come into your life? What if you praised him this week like that money was there in your bank account? What if you praised him this week like you felt good, like you're healed, like you're well, like you're whole? I believe if you would do that, I believe God would bring some happy into your life like never before. As a matter of fact, here's what I believe. If you'll put these two habits into place, if you'll switch worry for prayer, and if you'll live thankful this week, I believe anywhere you are can be the happiest place on earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your power, your presence in this church. We thank you for the amazing things that you're doing, the lives that are being changed and transformed. But God, change our hearts today. Some of us, we've got some bad habits. Some of us worry too much and pray too little. Some of us look at what we don't have instead of being thankful for what we do have. And so God, help us to make a shift today. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Craig, I want to live in such a way that people wonder what I'm on. They wonder what's going on in my life, because maybe they even know the circumstances. They know the situations, but instead of being under the circumstances, I live like I'm over the circumstances, where God's peace, power, presence, love, and joy comes in my life. I want to live like that 24/7. How many are with me on that? You want your life to be a living testimony of the goodness, favor, joy of the Lord that is our strength. Hands in the air. Father in heaven, we thank you today for every good thing that you brought into our lives. Every good gift has come from you, and we acknowledge it today. And God, deliver us from worry. Those that have a habit of worry, I pray, God, today they would do everything they can to break that, and that you will do all you can to help them to break it. That you'll give strength to them and help them to make that shift. That, whoa, that's not for me. Nope, I'm not taking that. I'm not going to worry over that. And God, I pray that you'll transform us today. Maybe you're here this morning while we're praying, and maybe some of you are like others in the first service, that you don't have peace in your heart. You don't have peace in your life. That there's maybe even a desperation, and maybe it's because of a disconnect with the God of happiness. The happy God who wants to bring his joy into us. And if you're here this morning, and maybe you're like that young man I talked to after first service, maybe you've been away from God for a long time, but today you're coming back to him. Maybe you've never really walked with the true God, the happy God, the God of fullness, of grace and mercy in his hands and in his heart. And today, if you'd like to receive that God, I know that he'll bring his joy into your life. If you'd like that today, just raise your hand right now and say, yes, I need to commit my life to God this morning. Yes, I see hands all over this room. Hands in this section, oh, way over here. God bless you. Up here, God bless you guys. Hands all over. All right, pray Crossroads with me right now. Family, just pray this prayer. Just say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe he paid for my sin. And I know I've sinned, but I want to start over. So wash away my past, free me of my guilt, and give me a new beginning. As much as I know how, I surrender all to you. Thank you for receiving me as a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody. Praise God for those who made that commitment. It's awesome. Listen, we want to help you grow in your faith. There's a class that we have. It's called Starting Point. It just started today with introduction. but you can hop in next week. If you need more information about it, see somebody out in the lobby and we'd be glad to help you out. I need our prayer partners to come forward at this time. And while they're coming up here, the rest of you, if you'll stand, we're going to close in prayer.